You're listening to Spice Radio 1200 AM's The Morning Buzz, and we're talking about how the U.S. has moved a step closer to banning TikTok after the House of Representatives passed a bill last week calling for the app's Chinese developer ByteDance to divest from the company or be booted out of the U.S. app stores. What it all means, we're speaking to Dr. Peter Chow White, who is a professor at the School of Communications at Simon Fraser University. Peter, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Hi, good morning, Karen. Thanks for having me today.
No problem. Now, let's get into it. What is your reaction to, you know, what we're seeing out of the U.S. here?
The activities that were moving in this direction from last year have picked up steam, and they've gone from conversations and questions towards that the company, TikTok, and its parent company, to actual action in the floor of the U.S. government.
Mm-hmm. And I understand for Washington, from what I'm hearing, this is their attempt to thwart potential foreign influence on campaigns. And how much of a big concern has that become over the years?
Well, I think those types of fears are well placed. The role of social media and communication channels in general, in terms of their foreign influence on local elections, has been a problem. Not just in American elections, but also in Canadian elections. You know, the question is as to what extent it has become a problem. But it's not a small thing. John Oliver show demonstrated what foreign influence on local elections could look like when New Zealand was trying to vote in their favorite bird, and he demonstrated that. That using social media and the internet, you can actually influence local elections, and his bird won. So that's the only real evidence that I've seen that influence of extranationals on local elections. Of course, that was a joke, but when it comes to influencing actual federal elections, that's a much more serious topic.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you've heard the saying, but they say every joke has a truth to it, right? It tells us something that could happen there. But also, I think it's really significant, right, to sort of have this conversation now. Because if we look at this year, it is a major election year, not only for the U.S., we're seeing it in several countries around the world. And in Canada, this will be us next year. So how important is it for us to really tackle this issue?
Yeah, and so this is kind of where there's the front line narrative on why these political things take place. And then there's the following behind narrative or the bigger picture. And as you said, the bigger picture is the elections in the U.S. It's also saying that somehow TikTok is going to be damaging towards young people. Maybe, although the evidence is not entirely clear on that, although anecdotal evidence in our everyday lives would say that social media is both a blessing and a curse. But the question is why is TikTok singled out amongst all the other social media platforms like Facebook, Instagram, which Facebook also owns, and the myriad of other ones that have been the major influence in our social and, our social landscape and political landscape over the last decade and a half. Those ones have been given a free pass. They do have to come and answer questions from the government, but virtually no regulations have been put in place whatsoever. So this seems like much more of an exercise in international relations and politics than actually preventing young people from being harmed.
And what you're saying there, I've heard from many critics too, because like they said, they're using also TikTok's addictive nature, like you said, that has raised concerns on what it could do to children. But many critics of the ban are saying that the same can be said for other social media platforms like Instagram, for example, like many others. Why do you think TikTok, though, is being singled out here?
Because the parent company is Chinese. It's fairly simple. It doesn't take a rocket scientist, although it may take a social scientist to figure that out. But on the face of it, it has a lot to do with the perception of China and its influence in the world and in the American eyes, and they think they're actually doing something for some reason that will have some effect and impact. Whether it will or not is remaining to be seen. But this isn't the first time that the media or some form of communication has been seen as the source of social problems. You go back to movies, film, music, every 10 years there seems to be a witch hunt for some sort of media that is a problem in society. And TikTok just happens to have the character of reflecting international relations.
Mm-hmm. And I have seen that many governments around the world, and Canada is included here, they have actually, you know, banned the app from government phones. There are certain governments that, you know, have decided, okay, public officials can't have this app. What does that say?
Yeah, well, that's the other side to this. One is the images, which is the media images, and then the usage, which is the users or the audiences, and how much time young people or anybody in particular spends on these things, and then the nature of the actual images that they're consuming. But where social media is categorically different from traditional media, like news, television, film, those sorts of things, is the surveillance side of it. Media is now a surveillance apparatus, and that's what I think governments are reacting against, is somehow that China is using this as a surveillance apparatus. This is a bit strange claim because, you know, companies that are located in the United States, especially, you know, Google, Amazon, you know, Facebook, these are some of the largest surveillance companies on the planet. And the information that supposedly the Chinese government, you know, if they are getting information from this, can get, is no different than what's, you know, out on the open market right now. I mean, there are information companies all over the world selling the same information that's a lot cheaper probably than building an entire social media platform to get to the same end. Mm-hmm. So it's a bit of a head scratcher in that way. You know, if you're going to ban things because of listening, then you probably shouldn't have government people having things like the speaker devices and listening devices from Amazon and Google in their home, in people's homes. They're listening all the time. Our phones are listening all the time. This is very well known, but there is very little regulation against it.
That's interesting. Now, as Canada watches what is unfolding in the U.S., what would it mean for us if the ban were to go through?
Not much. We are a sovereign nation, so we can decide, you know, what apps and what platforms we want to get. It might make TikTok a little harder to get if it's banned from the App Store. But, you know, there's other ways to download apps to your phone and that sort of thing. So, you know, it's interesting that it's been banned from government phones in Canada. You know, but whether or not Canadian government will follow suit, that remains to be seen. Again, you know, Canada is, you know, likes to sit between, doesn't like to make enemies of different foreign governments. So while the United States makes a strong stance against this, it depends how the United States probably is going to see Canada in their relations with China. If it sees Canada as a strong player in this, then there'll probably be some lobbying. If not, then we probably won't see much of a change.
Interesting times. And Peter, before I let you go, is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, not at all. I think those are all those are excellent questions and all the right topics I think people should be informed about and should be thinking about.
Appreciate your time. You take care.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.